I do want to invite you to turn with me to James chapter 3 and mark your place. James chapter 3. I want to open with this experience I had because I just want to bring you into the power of the tongue. Just 13 and a half years ago, we were living in Baton Rouge. I was pastoring there. We had already accepted God's assignment and call to come to Champion Forest, and we were getting our home in Baton Rouge ready to sell in order to move here. And on this Saturday, I was at the front of our house, which was brick, and the front main area is stucco, and I was repainting the stucco so that when we put it on the market, it would sell quickly. And I remember just going to get the paint mixed and matched and getting back to my house, and they gave me the exact amount of paint that I needed based on the square footage I shared with them. And it was just one of those hot days. I was up on the ladder. The stucco was drinking the paint like it was Gatorade. And I went through 5 gallons of paint and hadn't even finished half of the project. So I knew I had to go back into town, back to Lowe's, get it mixed again, matched again, and get 10 more gallons to finish. And it was just one of those long days, and we had so much going on, and I was preaching the next morning, 2 morning services, and then that Sunday night, and continuing to prepare a home to sell in order to move here. So I could tell I was a little bit on edge, a little tired, a little on edge, and I heard Austin out in the driveway on a skateboard going back and forth, and then all of a sudden, he comes rolling up to me, screaming, and he'll say, Dad, I just did a 360. Come watch. And I said, Austin, can't you see I'm busy? I don't care if you can do a 720. So he picks up his skateboard. He walks down the walkway around the corner. Have you ever had the Holy Spirit arrest you after you've said something and you wish you could retrieve it? Have you been there? Have you ever typed a text and sent it and wished you could have retrieved it? Have you ever sent an email you wish you would not have written and you really wish you would have not have sent? We all have those moments. And what we're going to learn here in James chapter 3 is the power of the tongue. And how the tongue has the power to add value, to bless and to benefit, or the tongue has the power to destroy and discourage and deflate. So we're going to notice some things about the tongue that God's Word teaches us. If you'll look with me in James chapter 3, and here's the first thing I want you to write down. Your tongue has the power to be influential. God has given you that capacity with your tongue to be influential. We see that here in James chapter 3, verse 1. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. Now, what James is saying is those who are teaching God's word, that is a tremendous, awesome responsibility that comes with accountability. And one day we'll stand before God and we will give an account for the words that we have spoken, the words that we have taught. So there's accountability there. Then you see the leveling playing field in verse 2. For we all stumble in many ways. James is identifying our humanity. For we all stumble in many ways. And if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man. That is spiritually mature. Able also to bridle his whole body. So James is saying, if you can get to the place where you can bridle your tongue, you better bridle your body. If you can control your tongue, you can control your body. If you can tame your tongue, you better tame your body. There's a direct correlation. Look at verse 3. He gives some very pronounced examples. If we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Some of you may have watched the Kentucky Derby yesterday, the 146th running of the Kentucky Derby. It's the elite horse race of the year. The stands were empty because of COVID-19. But the horses were ready, the jockeys were ready, and they were incredible. And the winner's name was Authentic. What a great Bible name, Authentic. And 'tis the law in second, 'tis the law now eclipsed from going forward in the triple crown. But authentic one, the jockey won his 200th race. It was a special moment. And what's so fascinating, the fastest horses in the world are on that track. And these jockeys may weigh 105 pounds, 97 pounds, 94 pounds. And they're controlling these most powerful horses with just a bridle and a bit in the horse's mouth. You could put a child on that horse and the child will be able to contain the power of the horse. James says, we guide their whole bodies. Look at verse 4. He gives a new analogy here. Look at the ships also. Though they are so large and driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. When I was in high school, my uncle took my brother and me to Cozumel to go scuba diving, and we had an incredible experience there. Right in front of our hotel, there was a plane turned upside down that had sunk, that they had submerged for a movie, and that was really interesting. But a little bit further off by the pier was where the big cruise ships would come in, and we could kind of swim out there, but it was kind of blocked off. But you could get close enough with the clarity of the water, and you could detect the rudder. And the rudder on that cruise ship, compared to how massive the ship was, made the rudder look microscopic. But that microscopic rudder could guide the whole ship. So James is talking about the power of the tongue and how your tongue, though a very small member of your body, has great power to influence. But we also notice that your tongue has the power to be infectious. Now we've got to go to the bad news here in James 3, chapter 3, verses 5 through 8. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a force is set on fire, ablaze by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire. Listen to this. A world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body. Setting on fire the entire course of life. Set it on fire by hell. Gehenna. So James is painting a very clear picture of the destructive nature of the tongue, how infectious it could be. Verse 7, for every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind. Even Shamu, the killer whale, has been tamed. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. Every morning I get up rather early and I have a routine that I embrace to practice my daily spiritual disciplines. I love to have my quiet time early. My coffee is ready, my breakfast bar, and my water. And I go to my study, have a routine. I lay a blanket down right at my chair. I kneel down, have my time of prayer there. And then I drink my coffee and enjoy my breakfast bar while I'm reading God's word. And I'm reading through the Bible. I was in Ezekiel this morning. And then I go to, out of my phone, my Bible app, YouVersion app, to a copy of God's Word, just like this, an ultra-thin leather Bible. And I read God's Word just to continue to feed my heart and to feed my soul. And then I read an app on news for KPRC Local 2 to see what's going on in Houston and how that intersects with God's Word. Then I go to the USA Today app to see what are the headlines of today. And today's headline was the wildfires of California. That's in the news so frequently. How just a spark or a lightning strike or someone kicks over a lantern or doesn't put the fire out at their campsite. And before you know it, such a large percentage of amazing real estate in California is up in flames. And the headline this morning was Mammoth Pool Campground, 150 people trapped, surrounded by fires. And James is painting this picture that it just takes a spark to ignite this massive fire that can be so destructive, so damaging. Some of you remember years ago during World War II, many were accustomed to seeing the posters that read, "Loose lips sink ships." the power of the tongue. In my morning routine, I have incorporated working out as well of the swim laps, and now I'm a runner, as I mentioned to you three Sundays ago, and it doesn't matter how far you run, just run, and you can claim yourself as a runner. And I like to change it up some. So the other morning, I got on my road bike and went to ride in the neighborhood. It's marked out by distance, so I knew how far I needed to ride, and plus it's on my watch. And I went to the main entrance in our neighborhood, and I was making my way back at a pretty good clip. And as I was coming back on this side of the street, there was another cyclist coming on his bike toward me, and he was going fast, I was going fast. And as we passed each other, he just said, "Dogs!" And I was wondering, of all the things he could have said to me this morning, "Good morning, we're getting our workout in, we're committed, look how early we are out here riding our bike." No, he said, "Dogs." And I was wondering, why'd he tell me that? What's that have to do with me? I'm on this side of the road. And then as I got closer to the intersection, I noticed two dogs that it was very obvious they had not been to the groomer in the last 7 or 8 months, had no collar on. They were massive dogs. You could see their teeth from 40 yards away, and I'm pumping it, going really fast, thinking they're not going to cross the street. They're over there. I'm safe over here. The closer I got, they darted toward me. So I cranked it up, shifted gears, and then they got behind me, came over on the right side, were running with me, and they were talking to me, daring me, like threatening me, and I just kept pedaling harder and harder and harder, and something came over me, and I just went into supersonic blast, and I left them behind. Hallelujah. Now look, when you get in that predicament, you only have to beat one other person on their bike, and you're good to go. James said that your tongue is like an untamed animal. Your tongue can be vicious and vile and disruptive and destructive. Your tongue has the power to be infectious. Number three, your tongue has the power to be inconsistent. And I really believe for the body of Christ, for followers of Jesus Christ like us, it's the inconsistency of our tongue that really hinders our witness. Look with me at verse 9. "With it, we bless our Lord and Father, and with it, we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be." Can you imagine that God has given us this amazing power to praise Him with our voices, that we can ignite our tongues with praise, and we can praise our Heavenly Father, and with the same instrument we gave glory to Him and praised Him with, we can cut another person to pieces and devour somebody, or bring division and disunity to the body of Christ with the same tongue that we praised our Heavenly Father with. Now, you do know the difference between flattery and gossip, right? So flattery is when you're willing to say something to someone's face that you're not willing to say behind their back. That's flattery. Gossip is when you say something behind someone's back that you would never say to their face. And even followers of Jesus Christ, we have that potential to allow our tongue to be inconsistent. May God do a work on us in that area. And the goal, of course, is to get to a place of integrity where there's consistency. And my favorite definition of integrity is when the tongue in your mouth lines up with the tongue in your shoe. That's integrity. And that's what's missing in America. That's what's missing in our families. That's what's missing in our churches. And we need God to do a work in us. Every morning I'm on my knees, I'm praying for a spiritual awakening in our country and revival in our churches. Every morning before I leave, after I spray on my cologne for the glory of God to be radiated from my life and to be a sweet aroma to Christ, I go pray with Tanya. and she has to get through the fumes of my cologne. We'll join hands together and pray together. And we're praying every day for certain things and praying for an awakening in America and revival to our churches. And it's amazing that if God would bring revival to our tongues, it would bring revival to our land. Number four, your tongue has a potential, hallelujah, to be transformed. There's some good news here. Your tongue has a potential to be transformed. Look at verse 11. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. Now, a fig tree should produce what? Figs. A grapevine should produce what? Grapes. Fresh water, spring, fresh water, salt water, salt water. And what James is portraying here is that your tongue reflects your heart. That whatever's on the inside of you, whatever's in your heart, is going to be manifest, it's going to be revealed, it's going to be demonstrated by your tongue. In other words, your tongue will always tell on your heart. What's on the inside is going to come through your mouth. Jesus said in Matthew 15, 10 and 11, this was when his disciples didn't wash their hands before they partook of a meal. It was pre-COVID. And the Pharisees were upset because they were not following the rules that they had established. And he called to the people and he said to them, hear and understand, it is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but what comes out of the mouth. This defiles a person. But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this defiles a person, Jesus said. For out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defiles a person, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile anyone. Now, don't quote that verse and say, well, I'm not washing my hands again. Let's continue to sanitize to be a blessing and benefit to others. Jesus said it's what's on the inside that defiles a person. And then he goes on to say in Luke 6:45, the good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. So the condition of your words reflect the condition of your heart. Your speech indicates what's on the inside. So to have a redeemed tongue, you must have a redeemed heart. To have a new tongue, you must have a new heart. So the heart of the matter is really a matter of the heart. This morning's reading, Ezekiel 36, 26, and I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. If we expect our tongue to come into alignment with God's word and God's plan and God's will, we need a heart change. We need a heart transplant. And it's not about you saying, I'm going to start doing better. No, it's a transformation of your life. God's got to do a work on the inside of you to transform your heart, to give you a new heart. When I was pastoring in Baton Rouge, my associate pastor was Lewis Boyd and his son Travis, just a really great young man of God. And Travis had shared with me an experience he had as a child with his dad. Travis allowed a profanity to come through his mouth. It was a cuss word. And his daddy, Lewis, was mortified because it was in church. And he would have been mortified anyway, but I think that added some octane. So when they got home, Travis knew he was in trouble. Travis knew he was going to be disciplined for what he said. And so Lewis said, son, come with me. And they walked back to the back room, to the master bedroom, to the master bathroom. And he got a bar of soap. Some of you are too young. You're not even going to know where I'm going with this. If you've ever heard that phrase, you better wash out your mouth with soap. That's like a punishment, going to wash your mouth out with soap. So Lewis takes the soap. He gets it under the water, gets it really going really good. And then he takes the bar of soap. His son walks up to him. Travis is very nervous now, knowing, oh my goodness, he's fixing to do this to me. And Lewis takes the soap and puts it in his own mouth. And Travis starts crying, saying, "Dad, stop, stop. I'm the one that spoke the words. I'm the one that did it. It's my fault. Dad, stop." But Lewis was willing to take the punishment. And I want you to know that Jesus was willing to take the punishment for you and for me, to give us a new heart so we could have a redeemed tongue. He was willing to do that for you, and he's willing to do that for me, so that you and I could come into a love relationship with the Lord that would transform not only how we speak, but would transform our heart, what we believe, how we behave, how we converse, how we interact with other people. And Jesus came and lived the perfect life we could not live. He spoke the perfect words of all of us because we have fallen short. And he died in our place for our sinful words and our sinful actions. And then he was raised from the dead. And the death that results from our sinful words has been overcome by the Word made flesh. And he dwelt among us. And salvation is made available to you. So how can we use our words wisely? I know tomorrow's Labor Day, and you're not worried about your words tomorrow. It's a day off, right? But what if we plug this in tomorrow morning? How to use your words wisely. Let me give you a few phrases to write down just to help us to become more like Jesus with our words. Keep these words on the tip of your tongue. I'm going to give you some words to keep on the tip of your tongue. And here's how I want you to remember it. Some of you, to help with bad breath, you'll use spray. You remember that? Some of you may use a Tic Tac or two or three. Some of you may use, is it Altoids? In that little metal tray thingy? But I use Listerine strips. And the reason I like Listerine strips is, first of all, it's in a very thin container. And as a public speaker, I speak often. Tanya doesn't like when anything in my pockets is bulging out. So my pockets are empty. All I have is Listerine strips and the key to my office. That's it. So I keep a Listerine strip packed with me at all times, and it's very thin. But I don't call it Listerine strips. They're called Friend Savers. Friend Savers. So I'll say, "Tanya, when you go to Walmart or HEB, would you be willing to give me some more Friend Savers? Got a box of Friend Savers in my office because sometimes I give them away to be a blessing to other people." So let me give you some Friend Savers for your relationships, some words to speak. What about the word please? Please. Thank you. Here's one. I'm sorry. Here are three that have transformed a relationship. I love you. Or just say, I'm praying for you. Those are Friend Savers. And then I want to challenge us, as we use our words wisely, think before you speak. And I want to use think as an acrostic. I wrote a devotional on this years ago, and I pulled it up to include in this message. Think as an acrostic. Think before you speak. The T, ask, is it true? Is it true? Now, that's a great question for us to consider before speaking. Is it true? Proverbs 10:11, the mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life, but the mouth of the wicked conceals violence. The H, is it helpful? Is it helpful? Consider your words. Are they beneficial to others? And you can look up Proverbs 12:18. Is it inspiring? God has sealed you by the Holy Spirit so that you can be a vessel of honor. Your life is designed by God to inspire others into a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. Do your words encourage others to reach their full potential in Christ? That's Proverbs 12:25. Is it necessary? Sometimes silence is the best option. When we're about to say something that is not necessary, maybe that's a good time to hit the pause button or to hit mute. Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits. Several years ago, we had a guest speaker here for an event, and I went to the event. Tanya and I were there together near the front, and it was an entertainer, and he did his thing that evening and said some things that were somewhat offensive and out of alignment with who we are as a church, what we stand for, and it was just inappropriate. And during that night, I just prayed and said, God, show me how to handle this situation. And the next morning, I called the pastor on our staff who was over that event. I said, I want you to come to my office at this time, and we're going to make a phone call together, and we're going to put the speaker that was here last night on speakerphone. There's some things I want to share with them. So the pastor came to my office. We called that gentleman who was our guest speaker. He answered and identified myself and then the pastor who had invited him and said, look, we want to thank you for being with us last night. And God used you in such an extraordinary way, and it's obvious you have a supersonic gift. God has so gifted you with timing, and you're so quick with words, and you took us on a journey. It was a fun night, but there were several things you said that were offensive and they were inappropriate, and that's why I'm calling. Silence. I began to share with him the specific things that he said that were toxic, corrosive, and inappropriate for the body of Christ. And he started crying. And he said, I've been traveling this country for 24 years, and you're the first person who's ever called me to confront me about something I've said and to give me unfiltered evaluation. And this conversation will change how I do the rest of my ministry. We had a sweet redemptive prayer together, and God did a special work. Sometimes the question is it necessary? The final question is it kind? Is it kind? I remember hearing Dr. Jerry Vines, who's pastor emeritus of First Baptist of Jacksonville, Florida. I remember him saying this years ago. A Christian never has the luxury to be unkind. Isn't that a good word? Proverbs 16:24, gracious words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the body. So how to use your words wisely? Let me give you a few additional ways before we close. Ask for forgiveness. If you want to use your words wisely, ask for forgiveness. That's Proverbs 6:2-3. If you are snared in the words of your mouth, caught in the words of your mouth, then do this, my son, save yourself, for you have come into the hand of your neighbor. Go, hasten, and plead urgently with your neighbor. And 13 and a half years ago, while pastoring in Baton Rouge, up on that ladder, painting stucco, Holy Spirit arrests me, and I went to look for Austin, my son, who was in second grade, now a senior at Rice. And I went around the corner. He was not in the garage. Went in the kitchen. He wasn't there. Went into the living room. He wasn't there. He was in our little playroom on the floor there. And I went in near him and said, Austin, come to Dad. And I knelt down on my knees. And as he was coming toward me, I had so deeply wounded him by my words. I don't care if you can do a 720. And I said, Austin, Daddy was wrong. I should have never said that to you. Those little tears came down his cute little cheeks by his little pug nose. And tears are flowing off of my face. And I said, son, will you forgive me? And he said, well, Dad, of course I'll forgive you. Now will you come watch me do my 360? Just so sweet. Sometimes you use your words wisely by asking for forgiveness. Sometimes it's extending forgiveness. Ephesians 4:32, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Maybe it's using your words wisely when you confess your sins to a godly person. That's James 5:16. Or when you confess your sins to God. That's 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What a wise use of words. Confessing our sin to God. But the wisest use of your words will be when you confess Jesus as Lord of your life. The greatest use of your words is when you confess, Jesus is Lord. when you bow your heart and you humble yourself before the Lord and claim him as Lord of your life. Romans 10, 9 and 10, because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart God is raising from the dead, you will be saved. For it's with the heart one believes and is justified, with the mouth one confesses and is saved. The greatest use of words is when you confess Jesus as Lord of your life. That happened to me on March 28, 1979, when I invited Jesus Christ to take over my life. I confessed my sin, and I turned from my sin, and I affirmed that Jesus was Lord of all and invited him to be Lord of my life, to be my Lord and my Savior. And he changed my forever. And then I want to challenge you to use your words to share the good news of Jesus. If you really want to benefit someone else and add value to their lives, you can change their forever by sharing the good news of Jesus. Philemon, verse 6. And I pray that the sharing of your faith, one translation says, that you may be active in sharing your faith, that the sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ. The most beneficial way you can use your words is to share the good news of Jesus Christ. Your words can change the trajectory of someone's forever. That God has armed us with the gospel. God has entrusted us with the good news of Jesus Christ. And God's going to give us opportunities this week to be a benefit and a blessing to other people through our words. Now, when we closed the campus and had no in-person worship, online only, of course, we received a few emails that were toxic and didn't understand why we were doing that. And then when we reopened 3 Sundays ago, we had, of course, emails that were wonderful and amazing and affirming and so excited. We're going back to church. We're back in person. And then a few toxic emails. And I've shared with you, I call the people. If there's a toxic email, I just call them. But if it's a sweet email, I reply with this phrase, "Thank you for splashing living water." So let me ask you this. What are you splashing? What are you spraying with your words? Your words matter, and your words can change eternity for somebody.
Thank you for joining us online. We hope today's experience encouraged and challenged you. At Champion Forest, we are passionate about all kinds of people coming to know God, to grow in their relationship with Him and others, and then to go out and make a difference in the world. We would love the opportunity to talk and pray with you. To connect with us, just go to championforest.org/connect. And hey, of course, we can't wait to welcome you on campus, in person, on one of our locations. We'll see you soon.